Paratooth Radio is a proud member of Evergreen Podcasts on killerpodcasts.com.
Christian and non-Christian paranormal investigators. They have two different views, and it seems as if neither of them can ever agree on anything. So what happens when a mainstream view of the paranormal crosses paths with the Christian view? Something.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to a brand new episode of Paratooth Radio. My name is Eric.
And I'm Justin.
And back again after a very short hiatus. I'm kind of enjoying the time off between episodes, and it definitely gives us a lot more time to kind of do the research that we kind of lost time on back when we were doing it every week.
Right. It gives us a little more solid case for doing the show.
Yeah. And actually, before we get in, it has been a few weeks. I'm sure there's a ton of stuff going on with your new writers guild that you established in North Dakota and just family time. I mean, what's going on? How has life been?
Yeah, it's been really good. Got a lot of great stuff going on. The guild became officially a nonprofit organization in North Dakota. So that's awesome. I've got a board that is starting to step up. They are a little bit younger, so we're on a huge learning curve on top of none of us have ever been a part of a nonprofit organization. So there's that. We've got a new anthology being worked on. I'm working on a couple new projects other than the anthology, a new book, the sequel to the Legendary Creature Project, The Griffin. So, yeah, it's been busy. But the book that I'm working on right now is separate from the trilogy, and it kind of goes along the lines of stuff we've talked about where it involves human DNA, which I don't know why I'm stuck on splicing human DNA with things, but that's kind of where my mindset goes for right now. But human and alien DNA being joined together, and it creates a super soldier. And yeah, it's a story that's kind of been done multiple times, but I think I'll give it a good spin on it.
And I think that's the important thing, because I think we've all heard time and time again, there's never been a story that hasn't been told. And so that's all we keep. Even nowadays, we look at what's happening in the movie theater and we're seeing remake after remake after remake. Right. I mean, how many Batman can we possibly have in a single year?
Right.
So, and that's just how it is. It's always the same topic, I guess. But yeah, the story behind it is different, you know, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. I haven't read any of that. I know normally I get to read some of your stuff, and all I've heard is some stuff, little things here and there that you've been sharing with me. But
well, it helps fun that I'm actually handwriting out instead of typing, so that's why you haven't seen anything yet. So, and just to share with you guys really quick, something that I kind of divulged to myself is, you know, you can type out a story, and you have to go through multiple drafts. But if you handwrite one, and this is something that I'm kind of getting used to because I haven't done handwritten stuff for a long time, is if you handwrite out something, you already have your first draft right there. So when you go to type it, you're already working on your second draft, and you can see the holes or the spots where you need improvement. So that's just something that I'm really finding more and more is true, because it's something that I gave up. I went electronic. So something interesting for you guys to think about. And then you're working on a couple of new projects too. So
yeah. So, I mean, I have my own book that I've started. It's called The Circus in the Woods, and it's kind of a horror based action adventure story. I'm only working on the outline right now, and I'm about six chapters into that. And it's a long, it's not like little bullet points either. It's like full spread out chapters. it takes me a good 5 minutes at least to read through each chapter, which is a good thing. But it's mostly, I thought about doing like what I do for screenwriting, which is just doing a sentence or two and then picking up the story when I'm actually writing the script itself. And just use it as like a, you know, basis of idea and then spin off the idea. But when I'm writing this, I'm like, there's so many ideas that it's easier just to put it on a paragraph form and write the chapter out and add more later. So that's been kind of fun, but a little difficult considering, as you know, time restraints for both of us.
Yeah.
Between work and everything else. So I've only had probably about one day a week to really sit down and do some writing, but it's coming along. I've got that. And then I'm also working on my web series that I've been writing. That one I think I'm actually six episodes into that one, with four more to go. So I'm excited for that. It's been about a year in progress. And I came to a sticking point after episode six. I was like, where did this go from here? This is a big kind of finale-like-esque thing that happened. And it's like, man, how do I go above this? So I have an idea and I'm running with it. So we're messing with that for sure. Beside that, I'm shopping for a new camera. So I'm looking forward to getting that, because that means we do have a short film that we plan on filming in North Carolina this year in September. Something that we were planning last year when we were in North Carolina. So I'm excited for that too. And beside that, it's just the same old, same old. Here we are.
Well, that gives you the opportunity to get the web series filmed in a good light as well. So,
and that's one where, like, I've got friends who are interested in working on that particular story. I've got a guy who wants to DP. I've got a sound guy who's interested in it. And really that one came together just because of where we lived. I just was looking out over the lake and I was like, man, this could be a nice little, like, just a story evolved around this lake. So hopefully once I get those 10 episodes done, which will be within the next couple months here, we're going to start looking into pre-production and hopefully doing some production in 2021. I purposely decided I don't want to film anything in 2020.
Yeah, 2020 at this point is cursed.
I'll do the one in North Carolina because that's just, you know, my friends and family that are going to be down there will be together.
Right, you'll be out there. Right.
But when you're trying to get everybody together and you got to travel state to state and stuff like that, yeah, we'll just wait till 2021 figure that out. But yeah, so now that we're all caught up, this is Paratruth Radio, so we probably shouldn't be talking too much about writing anymore. Yeah. Although, if any of you have some good horror stories, we'd love to hear them, so please feel free to send that to us, paratruth30@gmail.com, or check us out at newlanternmedia.com, where you could just kind of message us. I was going to message you the other day on New Lantern, just to see if it really worked, but I decided not to. I didn't want you to get all excited that we finally got someone to message us, and then you're like, oh, it's just...
Well, I do get notifications on my phone when somebody even just pops onto the website, so... Yeah, you guys can message us either through email or straight from the website. So, or, you know, we are on pretty much all the social medias out there, at least the popular ones. So,
yeah, so definitely reach out to us if you have a story, if you have any topics that you want to talk about or maybe share that you want us to talk about. We love, we'd love to be able to investigate that and bring some more information to you guys, or even just share your thoughts and ideas with people. So with that said, a couple of months ago, I think now it's don't even know, the time lately has just been so weird. I came across an article
about a month and a half, 2 months, something like that, that you messaged me.
Yeah. I was reading an article in Men's Health that I just thought was really interesting and very sci-fi. And it was just one of those things where I wasn't ready for the article. I was like, well, this is kind of weird. So I sent it off to Justin. I was like, dude, this is something very different for us in terms of the paranormal. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about. So it took a while. It took me a few weeks to finally get him to sit down and read the darn thing.
Yeah.
But he did. He found some stuff and he read it. And he's like, all right, we got to do this. So I'm going to kick it off with this article, actually. It's a very short article. I'm not even going to read the whole thing, but it's really interesting. And it's by, it was published in April of 2019 by biospace.com. Now, it says, Hemoglobin Oxygen Therapeutics LLC, also known as HBO2 Therapeutics, is a world leader in oxygen carrying solutions. Now, during that time, this was April 18th of 2019, they announced pioneering research conducted at Yale School of Medicine, highlighting an innovative system that restores brain circulation and some cellular functions in pig brains 4 hours after death. Now, importantly, there was no evidence of global network activity or full brain function, such as awareness, perception, or other higher order brain functions during the experiments. Published as a lead study in April 2019 issue of Nature, the system called BrainX involves three components, including engineering a specific perfusion solution using Hemopure as a critical ingredient to supply oxygen to the tissue. BrainX is designed to mimic pulsating blood flow at normal body temperatures of 37 degrees Celsius and during a 6-hour perfusion period. This researchers observed a reduction in cell death and evidence for the restoration of some cellular functions, including spontaneous synaptic activity. Now, the findings on the study entitled Restoration of Brain Circulation and Cellular Function Hours Postmortem indicate that the brain possesses a higher capacity for cellular restoration than was previously observed after death of blood flow may be prolonged rather than rapid process. And of course, the research in this claims that maybe this type of BrainX technology, along with the Hemopure provided by HBO2 Therapeutics, may be able to help bring in new insights into brain disorders, including stroke and Alzheimer's disease. Now, I thought this is really interesting in the fact that here we have whatever BrainX is, this kind of pulsating thing that helps pump blood that's no longer pumping with Hemopure, which is actually the thing that we want to talk about, because this is a product, a blood byproduct that carries oxygen through the body. And it kind of creeped me out, this particular little article, because I'm thinking, what else do we know has brain activity but is also dead?
Zombies.
Yeah.
So in 2020, we've just now created zombies on top of everything else that's been going on.
Right. I said that might be next. Either that or Civil War. One of those two. So maybe it's Civil War and zombies.
With zombies.
Yeah. So that would be interesting. We just need Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter to come around and start killing zombies too.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when you mentioned Hemopure to me and I read through the article, and I'll share this, guys, with you. If you've never seen the show True Blood from HBO, that's what it really reminded me of. And I'm like, oh no, like, are we creating a blood substitute for vampires now? I mean, it does have medical treatment, obviously. It's a, what they're classifying as a drug. But, yeah, it was just really weird, like, reading through this article and seeing that we have a blood substitute now, a one that's not necessarily approved by the FDA, but nonetheless, in case of major emergency, we have something that could probably still save somebody's life if they're losing a lot of blood.
Absolutely. But let's also be clear about this, because this blood isn't actually blood. Hemopure is just a blood-like product that is actually made from cow blood. Think yep. about that for a moment.
Yeah.
So this cow blood is purified by HBO2 Therapeutics, and is basically, they basically pull all the red blood cells, they pull all the little things that blood normally has, but they keep the white blood cells, which carry oxygen. And this byproduct, this purified cow's blood, is then treated or used for people who are basically need blood transfusions. And it's a last resort type thing. That's something that we need to note. You can't just go in with, like, if you need a blood transfusion, oh, let's use Hemopure. No, it has to be absolute last resort. That's critical by the FDA. They said the only way it can be used is if you've exhausted every other resource and your last option is Hemopure, then you can give it a try. But of course, there's no guarantee that it's going to work, and nobody knows what the side effects are. It could be no very bad side effects is what they could possibly be, one way or the other.
Yeah, as I was looking through the article, I was looking for, like, side effects. It doesn't really go into great detail in this article that I found about any specific side effects, other than it may cause blood clots, which would, you know, in turn cause a stroke or a heart attack. That was pretty much it. There wasn't really a whole lot else in there, or volume overload, which I had never heard of, but basically the concept is if you have too much blood, that can cause issues for you. So that's right. The only two that I came across. Was there any specific ones that you came across other than that?
No, there's not really any specific ones. The only thing that really came through by the FDA, and the reason the FDA had decided not to approve it just yet, was because there's actually, unlike blood, which carries... So basically what regular blood does is it has this ability, that I forget what the property is of blood, that allows the vein to open up. It's basically like nitric oxide is what it is. So blood has nitric oxide in it, and nitric oxide is used to basically inflame or widen the blood vessels, or in this case, the veins. Nitric oxide is actually used very commonly for athletic performance. I've used nitric oxide in the past, and what it does is it opens up the veins to help carry oxygen better and more efficiently to the muscles to give you better pump. And so that's what is happening here. Because blood, in this case Hemopure, doesn't have nitric oxide in it, there's no guarantee that the blood cells, the white blood cells, would actually be able to push its way through to the organs that it needs to get to. And as such, all you would be doing is pumping it in there. It would create a block, and you would die of a heart attack. Which, when HBO2 Therapeutics came back talking with it, the FDA said, this is true, but Hemopure is only to be used in a last resort. This is if somebody's going to die without it. You try it, and if they die, they would have died without it. But
right.
On the flip side, there's another 50% chance that they're going to survive and live. There have been statistically, it's gone both ways. There have been people who've used it and they didn't make it. But on the flip side, there have been people who used it and they survived and they're doing just fine today. So nobody really knows why it works sometimes and why it doesn't. I'm sure it has a lot to do with the state of the person. What their body condition is in, you know, how far along they are in the treatments. But I do know that it's kind of a sit and wait type of treatment. You know, this is something that's got to be pumped, a full bag pumped into the body every couple hours. I think in this one article that I read, actually, they're pumping it every hour on the hour. They had to do it because it's just white blood cells and it's delivering oxygen, it depletes very quickly. So you're going through bags and bags and bags and bags and bags, and you're only using it in order to jumpstart the body's natural healing process when the body can actually create its own blood, white blood cells.
Right.
And that's the main purpose of the Hemopure. It's basically to jumpstart your own production of the white blood cell. And the cost of that is both obviously physically, nobody knows what's going to happen. No one knows the side effects of it. And also financially, each bag, one bag alone, costs the hospital $200. And of course, that's going to multiply for the patient or whoever's paying, because then you're paying the $200 plus you're paying medical supplies and the doctors who are there as well. You're paying, you basically ramping up to around $2,000 at minimum if you end up doing a HemoPure blood transfusion. One thing, though, that I think is really interesting about this HemoPure, though, is even though it's not like your typical blood transfusion, it's cool in the fact that there is absolutely no, what's the word, like anybody can use it. Like, you know how, you know, you have type A, type
B. Right, you don't need a universal donor matching donor or anything like that.
This HemoPure can work for anybody and everybody. Period.
Well, the one thing that I found interesting, I don't know if this is in the article that you read, but it said that one population that might benefit from the expansion of the blood management program, which is what Dr. Bruce Spice or Spies in this article is a part of, said that Jehovah Witnesses would most definitely benefit from this product, but it doesn't go into why, and I didn't get a chance to research what significance that would mean. Why would Jehovah Witnesses benefit from this product over other people?
Well, I think the main reason being that as a Jehovah Witness, there's a religious reason as to why they can't accept a blood transfusion. So if a Jehovah's Witness needs a blood transfusion religiously, they're not allowed to do it. That's a sin, and they can actually be cast out of the Jehovah's Witness.
I think it's a parish.
Maybe you just call it a church, you know, right. They'd be kicked out of the congregation and whatever.
Thinking, but I didn't know for sure, and I didn't get a chance to research it. And I was talking to Shelley about it, and she's like, well, I think that they're not allowed to accept any drugs or any blood. But, if they can't accept drugs, they wouldn't be able to accept this because it's classified as a drug. So,
yeah. Well, and on top of that, let's face it, like, they can't accept human blood for blood transfusion because it goes against God's will. If you're dying, you're dying. That you got to accept it. But this is also cow's blood. Or originally cow's blood, I should say,
right?
Purified, which is just so much more different. Like, I can see a church having problems, religious people having even bigger issue with that. We could get into that kind of stuff and go all night about religious reasons for
the implications. Yeah,
but
so that, I mean, that was something that was, I thought was kind of interesting about it. And that they kind of concentrated on that in this article just a little bit, that, oh yeah, you know, Jehovah Witnesses would really benefit from this product. And after reading the article again, I did find the doctors that you had come across in your article as well, Jane Michael, there was a couple of people, I guess, that are involved with this. Mary Jane Michael was the one, Dr. Spice's manager. So it was interesting to see that there's doctors that are really feeling that this is a viable resource.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. And I think there's a lot of reasonable explanations to have something like this. And in the article that I was reading, one of the main purposes is if they can develop enough of it, you can basically have this in the ambulance. You can have this in medical aid backpacks for people who are like working as soldiers overseas, medics who need to do a blood transfusion right away. And this is something that can be used. Again, though, this is something I think I might have said something earlier about white blood cells, because this particular product doesn't actually contain white blood cells. It doesn't contain red cells or plasma or lipoproteins or anything like that. It's actually just hemoglobin, and that's it. And that's created by simply separating the red blood cells out of the cow's blood. And so that's what you're actually getting. You're getting a bag of hemoglobin that's going to be pumped into your system. And what's in terms of the look of it, it's been said that it actually looks more like a Cabernet, like a red Cabernet. So you're basically getting a bag of what looks like wine. It is nowhere near the color of blood. So it's very dark, almost black in color. And it's something that can be administered immediately. There's no warming it up. There's nothing like that they have to worry about, because most blood comes in on ice packs. All blood comes in on ice packs, and you have to warm it up first in order to put it into the body. So this is something that, if called, they can ship it. And they don't ship it with ice. They just ship it in a box with a couple of packages to keep it from breaking on the way. Just, that's probably a weird thing to see, you know? Like, hey, we got the shipment of your blood. Just cut open a cardboard box. FedEx just dropped it off for us.
Well, that was the other thing that I found fascinating about this, that it doesn't need to be refrigerated. Unlike regular blood, which is bad within 48 days, this can last up to 3 years. And yeah, I was talking to you about this before we started recording. I don't know that I would trust something that has a shelf life of 3 years to save my life. Maybe just let me die.
Well, but
maybe it'll turn me into a zombie or a vampire. I don't know.
If you're starting to worry about that kind of thing, then maybe. But, you know, if you're not worried about becoming a vampire or a zombie or something, then you have nothing to lose. By the time that this even becomes an option, it's literally this or death. So for most people, if you're willing to go through it, spend the money on it, obviously this is something, if the patient is awake, they can make the decision. Otherwise, whoever's their caretaker would have to make that decision. But, right. It's the last shot, basically.
Yeah, it. I don't know if there's anything more on your article, because mine has pretty much covered everything we've already talked about. But it's, I guess it is really truly a viable option if somebody is on death's door, they don't have a donor, or they can't find a compatible donor. Something that has kind of been interesting is we did a workshop in the guild about portraying a medical personnel in your book, and one of the things that really upset the teacher, because she is a part of the medical community, she works in a lab, is that the when they do a blood transfusion from person to person in a movie or a book or something. And she's like, no, that would not happen. That person would die right away, because nobody knows if they're compatible. Even if you're O positive, the universal donor, you don't know if your blood is going to mix well with that person's blood. So this would be a situation where you don't need to worry about that, like you said, and you could do it right away, right there, and you're good to go.
Right. And In support of the writers out there, the occasional plot hole is sometimes necessary, because you don't want to get too far off track, like, oh, but we have to test it first, and spend a whole chapter about that. So, hence the reason you don't see that kind of stuff in movies. And that's right. Maybe it's, well, one of those medical shows.
You have writers, what's it called? Perspective or prerogative, you can do whatever you want in your story. It doesn't have to truly make sense. I mean, and you don't obviously gear your story towards medical personnel. If a medical personnel person reads that and they're like, no, this is so beyond reality that it's not even believable. It's like, well, you know, maybe you're reading this a little too literally. But that's kind of my argument on that too. Is it you have to have some leeway in your writing. But anyways, back to Hemopure.
Yeah. So it's really, what's interesting about this Hemopure. I mean, there's a lot of things interesting about this Hemopure, but when you read through some of these articles, you'll see some that talk about the white blood cells and how hemopurine helps in building that and even supplies it. You'll see others that say there's no red blood cell content whatsoever. There's no blood cell content. It's just hemoglobin. But here, like in this particular article that I was reading from Men's Health, at the beginning, it says that there's no red cells, there's no white cells, there's no lipoproteins or anything like that. It's just hemoglobin, which is red cells stripped from the red cells in cow's blood. But then down at the end of the article, where Zafirlis, this is the last name of the man who actually was the one who provided the hemoglobin in this article to Dr. Lee, who is looking for named Alexis, who basically going, she was dying. Her blood hemoglobin levels were dropped down below 2, which I think on average a person is between 12 and 15. So he called this person, and at the end, he was just wanted to make a statement because he said he thinks it's time to drop comparisons and reset expectations completely. The mistake that previous companies made was that they started claiming this was artificial blood, which it's not. It's red cells only. And this is one of those contradictions that we're seeing in some of these articles, is that saying there's no red cells whatsoever in hemoglobin products like Hemopure. But then at the end of the article, it's saying, no, hemoglobin is red cells only. And I think there's a lot of confusion as to what is what. I'm assuming, I don't know much about the medical aspects of any of this, of blood or anything.
Well, hemoglobin usually travels on the red blood cells. That's what blood cells are filled with. So, I mean, I guess in a sense, the hemoglobin would need a carrier, so the red blood cells would have to be in there. But I don't know for sure, because in the article I was looking at, it really didn't go into details what Hemopure was, other than a bovine blood byproduct substitute. So, mm-hmm.
So what else can we say about hemoglobin? Well, Hemopure. It's a lot of hemo stuff in this.
Yeah.
Hemopure. Well, this one is actually really interesting because the industry in this type of industry, a lot of hype ran away from science. And the science was that this is indeed red cells. It's hemoglobin used for what it's meant to be used for. That's blood transfusions. But because this hype got so far stretched and pulled away from science, that in 2007, a Danish cyclist, Michael Rasmussen, was forced to quit the Tour de France while in the leader's yellow jersey because he'd somehow secured Hemopure as a performance-enhancing drug. It was useless, he later tweeted, a pure placebo. So that's one thing that we probably need to consider here, because that was another question I think I myself had, was at what point do people find this Hemopure and think, oh, hey, let's use it as a performance enhancer because it delivers oxygen in the blood, which is the same thing that nitric oxide does anyway. But I'm more concerned is how this person ended up taking it. He's using needles to basically add cow's blood into his system. Trying to get stronger. I don't know. It's weird. The Department of Defense recently committed, by the way, $8.2 million to the study of Hemopure in up to 1,600 pre-hospital trauma patients in South Africa. Transport times are far longer than the 11-minute average in the U.S., and clean blood is in short supply. So we do see that we have the government already putting money into something that isn't FDA approved in the hopes that they can help them in third world countries and areas where blood is just not easy to get to, or you're struggling to get to a hospital that might have the blood. And this is exactly what they're hoping for here in America too, is that this Hemopure is going to be something that can, again, be instilled in ambulances for EMTs to use. It can be used on the battlefield for medics. It can be used pretty much anywhere at any time because of the long shelf life and the absolute universal ability of it to be injected into anybody if needed.
Right. Yeah, it's something that I think can go both ways, like you said, with the using it for not so good things, but if the military is backing it, and I think they are backing it because it can save not just people from third world countries, but in a pinch, save soldiers. So I think that it's a smart decision on their behalf, because I don't know the statistics, but I'm sure there have been plenty of soldiers that have died from blood loss because there wasn't the blood there to do it. And we have been in short supply of blood for years now because people are not donating as much. There's also the incompatibility issue, like we're talking about with Hemopure versus regular blood. And there's a lot more diseases that we can't clean out of blood now, too.
Right. Right. And regarding the diseases, this whole idea of Hemopure actually began when HIV and AIDS was really first established and became known to scientists and to the hospitals. And that was the main thing for Hemopure originally. It was to be developed to help people with those type of diseases. And what's really weird, especially since this is America, here we are in 2020 talking about whether or not Hemopure can be used and whether or not it should be used. And the FDA has yet to approve it. And yet Hemopure has been used and approved for hospital use in South Africa for decades. It has a very good safety record over 20 years, but they still don't have a lot of data for its use in trauma situations, which is why the FDA is still waiting to approve it. And they're trying to, in this case, the Department of Defense committing that $8.2 million to really test it and see if it'll work in trauma situations where you need it now, not yesterday and not tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff that has been used in other countries, and we're just not approving it because we don't know the effects. Usually because doctors from other countries are not giving their reports away. They're basically mm-hmm. just selling the product and say, here, you know, do the research yourself. So it's interesting stuff. I mean, to say the least, and it's even more interesting that you had found another article that linked it to a brain product that essentially could probably help Alzheimer's, memory loss patients. It's fascinating stuff, but we are at that halfway mark, so we're going to take a quick break, folks. We will be right back with Paratruth Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are spirits everywhere, watching, waiting, seeking that opportune time to reveal themselves like no other. They fill our worlds with so much.
Seriously? You didn't just do that. You farted on the promo? What's wrong with you? I thought you were professional. Go away. Go. I got it. Hey, everybody. It's Brian Bowden, host of Nobobumi, where we explore deep inside the Goblin universe. We have an amazing show that covers the paranormal, conspiracies, music, art, entertainment, trending topics, and so much more. Please join us by subscribing to the show on Podbean at insidethegoblinuniverse.podbean.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere you find podcasts. It's an informative, fun, and overall entertaining good time, and we'll keep the gas to ourselves. Why don't you burp next time? Somebody get me Brian Anderson.
Welcome back to Paratruth Radio. My name is Eric.
And I'm Justin.
And I hope you guys are having a good time. If you're just tuning in, start over and listen from the beginning. So, Heal Pure is one of those weird but interesting topics that we recently came across, and it's one that's really scientific. It's scientific, but it's sci-fi. It sounds like it's something from a sci-fi movie where you have this purified blood, and like you said, true blood. It can be used for, in particular or specifically, it's used for transfusions. Clearly, somebody at some point decided they would try to use it as a performance enhancer. It didn't work. It's not nitric oxide, so it doesn't quite deliver oxygen the way they thought it would deliver it. But this is something that has hemoglobin and is built to help your own body get enough hemoglobin and enough oxygen to produce its own white blood cells and just its own blood cells, period, to help you survive. So far, some of the pros have been people got better. I don't know if we really need any other pros other than that. But of course, there's also some negatives here and things you got to be careful for. And one is, for example, receiving too much of the hemoglobin or this hemopure can actually end up giving too much oxygen. And if it's in the blood, well, you can end up with a number of different issues, including seizures, different flutters, you're violently seizing, brain damage, things like that can actually become even worse, or if you've never had them, can become new and stay with you the rest of your life, which is very important as well. And that's one of the things that I think that they considered maybe one of the biggest negatives and possibilities for side effects is that you can end up getting seizures, and those seizures or some type of brain damage, and that'll just last if you survive the rest of your life. You're stuck with it. That's one of those issues. So you have to really test out and see how you can fix it, which I'm not so sure you can, but I don't know.
Yeah. That on top of everything else kind of makes me not suspicious, but very deterrent towards using it. I mean, if worse comes to worse and I need a blood transfusion, I guess what's the worst that's going to happen if I'm dying already? But I guess what are your thoughts on this? What, like, personally, what do you think about this?
You know, I mean, I got to say that I'm actually probably for it. You know, this is something that, again, is only being used last. It's the last option. There's no other option other than this, or it's death. And in that type of circumstance, I mean, so long as insurance covering or helping or you have the money for it, obviously this stuff racks up a lot. And it's horrible to think that you have to choose between life because of financial issues. But that's kind of where society is and our world is today. But if this is the last opportunity, your last chance to survive, and you want to, then why not? I mean, the absolute worst that can happen is you end up dying from it, which was going to happen regardless anyway if you didn't take it. So use it. So I think there's always that possibility that you can be okay. You know, sure, there's possible side effects, but there's no guarantee that those side effects will be. You know, look at medications today. Any medication you take, there are so many side effects. Some of those side effects are death with some of these medications, by the way.
Right. Some of the side effects are worse than the side effects from whatever you have.
Exactly. And that's the thing, though, because the side effects, you have to note this one particular thing about side effects when it comes to any medications out there. The majority of them, especially the ones that say they cause death or heart attack or this or that, these can be very, very, very minor in scale in their testing. We're talking about below 1%. So you have something like 0.2, 0.5% of people tested that ended up having a heart attack or dying. But the other, whatever, we'll just say, and we'll say 1%, the other 99% were perfectly fine. Is it really a side effect? Or was this person just happened to have a weird, like, what? Who knows? It could be anything. But because it happened during the test, they have to go ahead and submit that in their claim. Some of the side effects that they even show on TV may not be an actual side effect. It may have just been a coincidence, but because it happened during trials, boom, you have to add it. So that's one thing to consider and understand. But the problem with that is you just never really know. You never know what the actual side effects are.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, going over the fact that this has been used to stimulate dead pig brains and the possible, I mean, I'm not really sure I really believe this, but causing some type of zombie-like thing, I'm not saying that that would happen. Obviously, I think that that type of zombie that is portrayed in fiction is not what zombies would be if there was such a thing as zombies, because we've done research on zombies and we've, I believe, done a show on zombies where a lot of times it's a drug that causes this zombie-like state. But messing with that biology and testing it on a dead brain and it having actual effects, I feel we are asking for some misgivings about it, because who knows what would happen. I mean, the benefits is good too. Like, we could possibly, if not cure Alzheimer's, at least limit the effects of it. People with brain damage could possibly give them a little more functionality. I don't know. I with all this tampering that we do these days in medicine, I feel that we're asking for trouble. Not that there's not any good that can come out of it, but what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think that there can be implications that could cause some major issues for humanity?
You know what? I don't know for sure, but I could definitely see it, especially if you were talking about like, just for example, let's think about women who end up having, using the Hemopure as a for transfusion. They survive and then end up getting pregnant. Could there be some type of side effect that way?
Right.
You know, and what does that do to the child? How long does it stay in the system? You know, how does it, again, like, I know Hemopure technically isn't cow's blood anymore, but these are still red blood cells from a cow. And again, I'm not a med student. I didn't go to school for medicine. I don't know how it works. But in my mind, and I think in the mind of most people, when they see that and hear that, they're going to think the same thing. And so maybe that's something, hopefully, if anyone who is a doctor knows or who's into medicine and understands this Hemopure thing, can maybe shed a little light on that for everybody. It'd be great to have you send us a little chat or an email or something.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's one of the, I think, biggest concerns I could think of, you know. I can't say that there's going to be some type of, again, some weird zombie thing or, you know, who knows what. But then again, who the heck knows? You know, I mean,
yeah,
with the way splicing is going these days, DNA splicing and stuff, I mean, who knows where we're going to end up? There might be three of me one day, and we'll all be talking on Parachute Radio in 29 and something. I don't know. 2090. We'll see what it's like back then.
What would be really interesting is if we cloned you and each one had a different opinion about what you guys were talking about.
That would be really interesting. That would be annoying is what it would be.
Well, a audiobook that I have listened to now going on four times talks about a guy who sells his brain or his head to a cryogenics lab, and he ends up coming back as an AI. Well, he's put into this ship and sent out, and he can replicate himself. And a lot of the story is about himself talking to each other and how their personalities differentiate. So it's really interesting, because then I think to myself, would my personality really split off that much if I duplicated myself? And verifies the fact that I don't want to duplicate myself.
Right. Well, but that goes into the whole theory and the question as to, like, you know, there's this actually goes along with some of the paranormal stuff we probably talked about in the past, but when you have a organ transplant and you take on someone else's organ, there's the idea that part of that person is with you, and your own I don't know if it's your thinking pattern or little quirks that you have can end up changing to mimic those of that other person. There's a movie out that came out years ago. I forget what it's called. What the hell was it called? I can't think of what it was called, but it had Jessica Alba, and her eyes were in place with somebody else's eyes. And she was able to see through that person's eyes, and it was kind of creepy. But yeah, you know, that's something that's like a serious debate, and people are worried about transplants and stuff like that because of this possibility. Especially, like, I just watched a show the other day called The Good Doctor. Don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a typical medical show, but it's pretty interesting, you know, about a student who has autism. And this one kid needed a new liver, I think, or he was going to die. And the only liver that was available to them was from a serial killer. And the serial killer wanted to donate the organ, but the kid didn't want it because he didn't want a serial killer's organ inside of him for a number of different reasons. So, you know, that is another one of those things, probably yet another episode of Paratruth sometime down the future. I think we've actually talked about something like this with Jerry before in the past.
Yep.
And, you know, who knows? I don't think there's any real evidence or research stating that something like that could happen, that you can actually take on the mannerisms of somebody else just by having organ or blood or whatever. But there are stories in which that has happened, or people claim to have say it's happened, or maybe memories that they have that they shouldn't have that somebody else did.
Right.
You know, it's weird stuff.
Well, it's something that, yeah, we could definitely do another show on, because all the stuff I had done research on that for didn't say anything about the person finding any information on the donor. Like, that can truthfully mess with your mind and influence your perception on, I'm getting these traits from this person because their stuff is in my body. Well, no, you probably read something, and now you're all of a sudden seeing a coincidence. That's a very good possibility. That's a possibility that cell memory is a thing too. Who knows? But before we get too much further into this rabbit trail and go longer than we need to, we are out there in social media, as we said earlier. Check out newlanternmedia.com. And we got several shows on there now. We have Paratruth Radio, Beyond Reason, which is kind of defunct at the moment, but the episodes are still up. We have Crime Crack, which we should get on and do another episode of that as well. And an episode where you don't have to listen to Eric and myself's voice all the time. Two Girls and a Zoom Potato, which is with Shelley, Nicole, and Whitney, where they try to influence, two girls try to influence the Zoom Potato on a particular topic. It could be a video game that the other two like and the one has not played or dislikes. It could be a TV show. It could be a book. And it's actually really interesting. It does have a video counterpart to it, so if you follow us on YouTube, the New Lantern Media channel, you can see the videos as well, and it's truthfully hilarious to see somebody as a cartoon potato talking to two regular women. So so definitely check out all of those shows. And yeah, we're trying to get more shows on. We are talking to a couple other just paranormal shows. We're talking to people who either already have shows or want to start up a show about a specific topic. Eric is actually talking to his sister about bringing on a limited series about her web series. So yeah, there's a lot of great stuff coming to New Lantern Media. So definitely stay tuned. Anything further you need to say?
No, I don't think so. We'll just be back soon.
All right, folks, until next time, where you'll find us same time, same channel. My name is Justin.
And I'm Eric. Peace.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.